This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from an undisclosed location at the moment, because I am traveling. And I am so happy to be able to talk to you today, and that Big Ed got me on the line. Now, my guest today is very interesting, and I think that many of my listeners will find this story fascinating. We have just gone through November, which was, of course, NaNoWriMo month, the month where everybody had the opportunity to write a novel in 1 month, which is a challenge, and it's a wonderful challenge because it gives you the opportunity to see if you have the gumption and the stick-to-it-ness that you need in order to write. Now, I'm going to be talking to Kelly Ann Manuel right now, and she obviously has had some ability to stick to something because she has written 31 books, apparently in a month. So let's talk to Kelly Ann. Are you there, Kelly Ann?
I sure am. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Kelly Ann. You know, as I said, this is a very important subject to me, writing books. And when I heard that you wrote 31 books in, I guess, about a month, I found that fascinating. But I want to step back a little bit and discover something about you, because writing is something that, as I said, it's so important, and where people get the idea to become writers is something that intrigues me. And with you, you have a story to tell, but I would like to know a little bit more about you before we go into your books. So tell us about how you started. I understand that the beginning was something as simple as a prompt to write a journal. Can you explain that?
Yes, absolutely. So I think to start off, I would just say that the poems came after I did a lot of work on myself, a lot of work, a lot of counseling, and I still am enrolled in a healing program, and the healing program had a prompt. The prompt led me to write my first poem, My Name is Mountain. And I also talk about, because I did all the work, I was able to achieve what I call an inner quiet. And at the same time, an environmental outer quiet. Now, when I got the balance of the quiet, I literally heard the poetry. It just rose up in me, but also rained down upon me. So I think I would refer to that as flow. So it was always in me, so it rose up, but then it also rained down in a beautiful way from the universe. And I was in flow. So then I wrote My Name is Mountain, and I thought, oh, this is a poem, but it's meant to be a nursery rhyme for children. And I thought I was having an only child. Well, it turned out I was having multiple. Because after My Name is Mountain came, more than 30 others came within days of each other. I say the poems came as easy as breathing because of this flow. But had I not done the work on myself, I refer to it as this. you know, if you've ever done any DIY projects or any real estate projects and you purchase something and you're hoping for hardwood under the carpet and the linoleum and that has been put on top of the hardwood, and you go and you, with all this hope, and you peel back the corner hoping to see the hardwood. The poems were the hardwood. They were always there. But if I hadn't done the work, the shag carpet and the linoleum would have still been covering up the hardwood. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. Now, because I myself have been inspired at times where I was able to write in a month more than I possibly could have imagined I was able to do, yes, because the words do come to you and they do flow sometimes. Now, when this happened, let's step back. You know, you were in some kind of therapy. You had suffered some changes in your life. Where do you come from? Where are you from?
Well, I grew up on Long Island. I grew up on North Shore of Long Island. And then I went to school in Indiana. I went to Indiana University. And then when I graduated from IU, I've been in the Charlotte or South Carolina area ever since. And I dedicated to family business. Well, I did work with children. I did do, I worked for a preschool program where I started as a teacher, and then I moved up into administration. And that really did inform me. I didn't know at the time, of course, that I would end up writing the nursery rhymes, but it did inform me about early childhood development, right? So it just turns out all these little pieces of my past. So I also worked, before I had my son and went into preschool, I worked for General Electric in corporate, in a corporate world. So I kind of learned about business and things like that. So then you take the business part, and then you take the child development part, and they kind of come together. And then a lot of my adult life I spent on family property, rehabbing and doing projects ourselves to save money and not pay contractors. So anything from landscape to demo to laying tile, laying flooring, painting ceilings, changing vents, caulking, I did all that myself. So busy. Of course, I did all the administration for all the properties as well, which is pretty much a full-time job. So once I stepped away from that, there was a fair amount of time on my hands, you know, and I didn't know how I would fill it, but it was a plan for me. And when I was ready, I heard the poetry, and I just knew it was important, and I knew I needed to act on it because it was coming so fast. I thought, this is important to work on now. And I was lit up, just like I'm looking at my Christmas tree. I was lit up like a Christmas tree. And I was single-purpose, single-minded in getting these words and these books into not just the hands of children, but whoever is interacting with the child. So I don't. Is that a good way? Is that what you're hoping for as far as my background?
Yes, that's what I wanted to know. Now you're working, as I said, I got this request to interview you from a company. And I normally don't deal with publicists I don't know. And so I was intrigued when I got this request. Can you tell me about the publicity company you're working with?
Oh, my gosh. They are everything to me. Yeah. Black Chateau Enterprises. So I published in March and April of 2022. Everything, all 31 were published by the end of September 2022. And I didn't know what to do next. I didn't know. And I started realizing I needed, nobody knew me. What good was 31 books if nobody knew me? So you have to figure out what to do next. So I thought to myself, well, I should research PR companies. Well, the Black Chateau, what really struck me about them is they put pricing on their website. They put pricing, which was gigantic for an unknown, uncommon author to be able to see a number and say, okay, what can I manage financially? So they do that right off the bat. And they show you what's included in that. And you're just so excited to possibly work with them. So I reached out to them not even knowing if they would work with me to take me on as a client. And I heard back almost immediately last November, and it was just synergy from the go. And so I signed the contract, and we started January 2023. So if you think about it, the books were published August, September, 2022. I started with the Black Chateau January 2023. And by December of 2023, I'm having an interview with you. So it's extremely fast, but it's only fast because of them, because of what they've done for me, you know. So I see it all as unfolding. Everything regarding my journey, I often describe it as much like the movie Field of Dreams, where, you know, the main character, Kevin Costner, basically gets ideas. And here's messages. And he's like, oh, what should I do next? What I would call, now I would call those intuitive hits. I don't believe they were called intuitive hits back at that time. I would call them intuitive hits. That's how my journey goes. So when I researched and Black Chateau kept popping up, that said, pay attention to me. Pay attention. Research them. And that's what I did. And next thing you know, it got me having interviews with people like you, which is incredible for me.
Well, it is incredible in a way. And that's why I wanted to talk about your background a little bit. I noticed that, you're in some ways your presentation is very sophisticated because you even have Audible books, and you're on YouTube. But I noticed that you don't have a lot of followers on YouTube. Why is that?
I'm just so new. You know, this all has transpired, I'd say. Like I said, I hired PR January 2023. And I just believe it's just I'm so new. That's why I'm doing as much as I can with Black Chateau to get my name out there.
And do you have a Facebook page? I couldn't find a Facebook page for you.
No, I don't. As for me, with my writing, I need a lot of quiet and a lot of room to be in my own world. And I have found that it's difficult for me to manage social media and do what I'm good at.
There are tens of thousands of authors who feel that way very strongly, that social media interrupts their thought process. That, for goodness sakes, it interrupts my thought process, and I really have a hard time dealing with so much social media. But what I'm concerned about, Kellyanne, is that, it is funny that you got through to me, because this is unusual. Your work is unusual. Now, this is a strange question, but are you real? I mean, I'm a little bit worried by what I've seen here, because I did try, to understand how you've gotten to this point. And obviously, this company, your publicist, did a good job by getting to me. But are you a real person, Kelly?
You can see me on YouTube reading the book.
I know, but nowadays we can't, that's what I saw you on YouTube reading the books. But I was wondering, it's so funny. I mean, this is ridiculous. On the one hand, I'm impressed with some of your poetry, but I was a little bit alarmed that that I could not get through. I got the request from your publicist, and it's in the Christmas spirit and looking for books that are inspiring and looking for particularly poetry that's inspiring, books for children. And I like the concept very much of having 31 books. So there's a book a day that people could read. They're small books. They're not, enormous books. But then I, as I'm looking at it, I'm wondering, if you're real and if you, Are the words coming from your heart that you're writing, that you're writing? Are they coming from your heart?
Absolutely. That's what I talk about, the rising up and the flow. They were always there. The poems were always there. And they just had to be set free. And yes, absolutely, every word is mine. Every poem is mine. And I am real. And it's what I say about the books and the poems is they're all experiential. Every piece I write, every book, every poem for adults that I'm working on now is a piece of my soul that I am giving to children and caregivers so that they can benefit from my life journey and story in a way that is entertaining, but also informative, and also just little bits of messages here and there. It's all me. And it's so exciting because it makes me feel like the journey and the roads and the things I've been through were not for naught. They were for a reason that I can now share, that I can now inspire and give. My books are about resilience. My books are about hope. My books are about dreams and joy and how I have risen and how I have been resilient. And it's very hard to explain that to a child. So what I do is I create a feeling for the child. My words create a feeling. And the way I would describe it best would be Hans Christian Andersen and the work he did for children. That's how I would describe what my books are, how he wrote in a way that created a feeling, and then it rhymed, and the children could remember the rhymes. I remember them. I grew up with him.
Well, who did this work for you of getting your books turned into audible books? Who did this?
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's another benefit of Black Chateau. So they had a person. The company is Pro Audio Voices. Becky Parker Geist is the owner. And I knew she was my person. She recorded books for the Library of Congress for the blind. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to meet her. I met her. We did a contract in February. All the audio books were released, all 31, by the end of July. Because she was the perfect fit. We got the perfect narrator, Phil Shane. It all just was so organic, natural, and ready to go. And here's one of the things I believe about that. What I'm realizing is with the audiobook production, that a lot of libraries are picking up the audiobook. And that was important. It's important for my books to be available through libraries. So I feel like the audiobook definitely lent to getting more library pickups, for lack of a better term.
Okay, well, this is it's fascinating. I know that you're ready to read one of your books, this is a Christmas book, right?
Yes, this is, you know, I don't know if everyone has the same dates, but today for me is the winter solstice. And I wrote a book, so I flipped titles. So I have The Catcher Dream instead of The Dream Catcher. I have The Case Suit instead of The Suit Case. I have, all kinds of flips. Let's see, The Boots Rain instead of Rain Boots, right? The Morning Good instead of Good Morning. So this book is called The Snow Last instead of The Last Snow, okay? And this book is about endings and coping with endings, okay? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
The other day, I went to visit a friend who lives at the tail of a rainbow's end. This is a tale that may feel a bit cold. Nevertheless, it is a tale to be told. In this particular town, there was an event that caused many a frown. There was a snow laugh, and just as it sounds, it is when something ends and silence resounds. Now, please take heart here, my reader dear. It turns out there is nothing to fear. The town felt lucky to have fond memories of this polar blast. I saw this in every crevasse vast. I would recommend a proper pause at this time. It is so very helpful and an ease on the mind. Even though this town had a snow laugh, it was also the beginning of another season past. The end.
Okay. Well, Kellyanne, I think it's fascinating what you've done and what you've accomplished. I just want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. As I said, I'm traveling and I'm about to do some more traveling. So I will say goodbye now, but I do want to thank you so much for joining me today on Joy on Paper, Kelly and Manuel. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to have, we're going to have a book buzz and then some commercials, and I will be back. And I want to talk to you about my very, very important three contributors to Joy on Paper who are doing such a wonderful job. And we just recently had a wonderful press release about the books that they recommend for the holiday season. So let's go ahead and do a book buzz and commercials, and I'll be back soon.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz, and A Doppelgangster is the exciting science fiction and fantasy second novel of the Esther Diamond series by Laura Resnick. Here's the buzz. Esther Diamond, a New York actress, is resting between roles by working as a singing waitress at a Manhattan mob restaurant because, well, wise guys tip well. Then duplicated gangsters appear, bullets start flying, and it's up to Esther and her friend Max the Magician to fight evil by stopping the gang war before it starts killing the wrong people. And if she has time, maybe Esther can actually keep a hot date with her hunky detective friend Lopez, who doesn't believe in magic yet. Laura Resnick introduces a colorful cast of gangsters and their associates as she spins a witty, fast-paced mystery around her convincingly self-absorbed chorus girl heroine. Unplug all your devices and settle down for a fast and funny read with Laura Resnick's Doppelgangster. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. Hey, for more of my suggestions on mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
50 years ago, Jim Lamb left Vietnam after serving in the Navy, where he fixed radios, played ping pong, and swept floors. Jim wrote about his time in the service in Orange Socks and Other Colorful Tales, the story of how he survived Vietnam and kept his sense of humor. The book is available on Amazon. Just type in Orange Socks and Other Colorful Tales. You can also visit his website at www.jslstories.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And I am back, and I am so happy to have an opportunity to talk about several subjects. But first, I want to thank again Rita Moreau for that book buzz that she did for Laura Resnick. Now, Laura Resnick is the daughter of a wonderful friend to Joy on Paper. Mike Resnick was one of my first guests a long time ago. I can't believe it was 2015 that I started Joy on Paper. And Mike Resnick was a brilliant, brilliant sci-fi writer. I loved him. I loved his work, and I loved talking to him. And we became internet chat buddies because he and I would work all through the night. And Mike had this way of writing that he started writing usually around 9:30 at night, and then he would go on writing all the way until about 6 in the morning. And when I first asked him to be on Joy on Paper, he said, "Well, I'd love to be. Can you record me at 4 o'clock in the morning?" I said, "No, I don't think so, Mike, although I am up. We're not on air." But finally, after asking him for like a couple months, he said, you just have to stay awake until 11 a.m. Eastern time. And or go to sleep and then wake up. He finally agreed. And so he became a guest and a frequent guest on Joy on Paper at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And, of course, he always told me he had to drink a pot of coffee just to stay awake for my interviews. And he was so delightful. I loved him. I enjoyed talking to him. And he was the winner of 5 Hugo Awards and a Nebula, and he was the guest of honor at ChiCon 7. His writing is so terrific, and his sci-fi stories are so imaginative that few people have really outshone him in that field. So I wanted to play his daughter's book buzz because she has a wonderful, wonderful series. It is so cute. It is based on a Broadway actress, and she's an actress, and she gets involved in all sorts of messes. And what I love about Laura Resnick's work and her particular series, which is called Esther Diamond, is that it is a mystery series, but it's funny. It has all sorts of backstage information for anybody who loves the theater. And she has done wonderful, wonderful audible books with a cast. So she has the cast members who are reading the book. And if you like audible books already, when you listen to Laura Resnick's audible books, you will just be thrilled because they are fantastic. So please check it out. Go to Audible and get one of Laura Resnick's Esther Diamond books. They are really lots of fun. And just, I want to tell Mike Resnick's family that he will always be in my heart. I really loved talking to him. So now I want to go back a little bit to this interview I had earlier. It's a strange interview. Well, I think the strangest I've ever had, because I wasn't sure if Kellyanne was real. This is strange. I've been getting, over the past year, so I was worried, you know, I would be getting books from people, well, not people, from AI. And I did recently, a few months ago, I got a book, and I just, there's something about it. I mean, the person might be absolutely real, but I just didn't connect to the book. And it although it came from somebody, you know, a publicist that I dealt with before, I just didn't like the feel of the book. So I pass on books that I either don't like or that, are just derivative. I've read it over and over and over, and I can't read a book like that one more time. So, and I passed on even very, very famous authors' books, sometimes because I've, you know, talked to them often enough, or, and I want to give somebody else time, or because I simply didn't like that particular book. I can talk to an author about a book that I like, but if I get a book from an author, even though I might like the author, and I don't like the book, I just sort of pass on it. I don't want to say anything good. I don't want to say anything bad. So when I got this from a new publicist, this request to interview Kellyanne, I jumped on it. I thought it would be nice. I'd like to help out new publicists, people I haven't dealt with before. I love to help new authors introduce their work to the world. So I said, well, you know, it's Christmas time, generous spirit. I'll take her. And I read part, you know, I got the first part of the book. And so I said, send me the books. And then I realized something. She didn't use a real illustrator. All right. She used, off the shelf illustrations, which bothers me because illustrators need work. And although you can buy illustrations, you know, off of the internet, and you pay a company to, you know, buy their illustrations. And I, you know, for like my advertising work, I do that. But for a book, which is to me sacred, a book is sacred to me. I don't approve of using off-the-shelf images. I know that people are doing it, and I know that if it's just illustrating a subject or something like that, I can see it. But when it becomes a creative book, when it becomes a book for a child, it's just against my grain. There are brilliant illustrators out there who need work, who desperately need work. And I don't want to encourage people to buy off-the-shelf illustrations for children's books from just anywhere. There should be this connection. The illustrator should care about the book that they're illustrating. And although they might be in another country even, but at least they look, you know, have the words, and they're illustrating to those words and not just illustrations, you know, for nothing. So I've decided, you know, I want to be more careful. And in the future, I mean, I've always been, I think every children's book I've reviewed, and everyone that Devon Miller also does book buzzes for, those are real illustrators. And although we always don't necessarily mention the name of the illustrator, which I'm going to change, absolutely. I'm not going to talk to a author for children's books unless I mention definitely the illustrator's name, because I know there are so many out there who need work, and it's just not fair. So that's going back to that first segment of the program. That's what I want to say. I'm sure she's a lovely person. She's real. She claims to be real. But I do worry with this idea that she's not on Facebook. Isn't it funny? Social media drives you crazy. But on the other hand, when somebody isn't on social media, it makes you a little bit worried that are they real or not. And so I suppose in life now we're changing. We're going to become, if you don't have social media, you're not real. But I it's just something that you have to think about nowadays. And in my position, you know, I'm promoting authors. That's what I want to do. I want to help authors sell their books so that they can make some money. And if they have an illustrator, so the illustrator can make some money. I'm not here to help some AI make some money. And there are so many of these AI companies now, and they are driving me crazy just in all of the things that I get sent on how to do this, how to do that. And AI wants to save me time all the time. I spend so much time avoiding AI advertisements that they're not saving me time. I'm just telling them, stop it. Leave me alone. I'm not going to use your AI. That's why I was very tentative about this interview. I wish if she's, you know, she's got wonderful ideas, and I think her thoughts and hopes to help people face, you know, difficulties in life. That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. So I wish her the best, and we'll see how she fares without social media, because I don't know if you can last too long in this world anymore without social media. Speaking of which, I would really appreciate it if all of you, every one of you, and you tell everyone else, I am real. Patsy with a Z is real. I am the last of the Red Hot book lovers, and I want to expand the program, and you know, I'm on 2 days a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'd like to be on 5 days a week because I have so many books that I want to talk to you about. There's just so much to do, but I need help. By simply, all you have to do is start following me on Facebook, and it's radio-joyonpaper.com. It's not just, you know, it's real easy, radio-joyonpaper, and it's on Facebook, and you can like what I put on there. And I just recently did a beautiful video, and I think it's beautiful. I'm saying it myself, for Jim Lamb, who is a contributor here at Joy on Paper. He wrote a beautiful Christmas poem, and I wanted to do something special for him. So I did a video, and I think it just turned out so beautifully. And we're going to, before the end of the program, I think we'll play that poem and then go into a lovely song by Kevin B. Edwards, which touches my heart all the time because it is a song about being good. So I hope that, you know, you'll just do that. That's all you have to do for me. It's crazy. I'm telling you. As I deal with advertisers and as I deal with publishers, they all want this. Well, see what I just asked her about, was she on Facebook? And she says, no, she doesn't like Facebook. Well, you know, advertisers want you to have a big number on Facebook, and it helps. You know, so I need advertisers. And so it's this sort of, you know, catch 22. I go around in circles. An advertiser says, how many followers do you have on Facebook? And to tell you the truth, I have not pushed it because, you know, it is hard work. You know, just dealing with social media. And now I found out that they used to just judge you by Facebook. Now they do Instagram too. And heaven help me if I ever had to go to TikTok, because I can't do it all. But let's concentrate on Facebook. So you could help me simply by going to Facebook, liking me, and, you know, doing all the stuff that you're supposed to do on Facebook. Like it, love it, comment, forward, share it, whatever they do. It all counts because I am talking to two national advertisers, and that's what I need. I need a national advertiser who will just say, okay, let's give the girl some money so she can just keep going and talking like crazy and helping authors. So if you would do that for me, that'd be great. I would appreciate it. And meanwhile, another thing that you can do for me is go to, it's time to go to Amazon and to do that last minute shopping, and you're sending things out, but you can still send things out and things both electronically and print versions of books are still going out, and the magic that is Amazon, I suppose, because they seem to be running all over the world. They will still get books out in time for Christmas. And so I would like to talk to you about the three my trio of book buzz, my little busy bees. They are busy bees because I keep them busy. I have, and coming up now in the new year, I'm going to be keeping them really busy because I want them to do more and more, not just the videos, book buzz for the radio program, but I want them also to do videos because I'm going to do, try to put them up more so that you can actually see them in action. So let's start with Devon Miller. Devon Miller is a young man who is absolutely terrific, and his books are available on Amazon, and his series is called Mr. Tickety Tock Clock, and he has a whole bunch of them. There's four of them, and you can start with It's Time to Read. And Devon's books are delightful. You know, all of us went to school. Oh, gosh. Most of us went to school. And we sat around in school. I don't know if you were like me, but I would get into the room. And it would be at the top of the hour. They gave us 5 minutes to get to their room. And so we'd be at the top of the hour, we'd be in our room. And I used to, it was terrible. I was really terrible. I would write a countdown. And I would write, the minutes, 55, 54, 53, 52. 52. And then as the class went on, I would just cross them out and cross them out and cross them out because I wanted to be, for me, it was very difficult. I can tell you, most of my classes in high school were just so painful to me because I hate to say this, I don't want to brag, but I knew more than the teachers. I'm sorry, I can't help it. It was funny, like I go to English class, and that was always the one that was the most difficult for me in high school because I go to English class and I had read every book by the time I got there, if they had, they'd have these terrible books, these literature books where they'd have parts of books and, it was horrible. And, I had already read every book that they could imagine and I'd have to listen to this and it was driving me crazy. But there I was. Now, I never, in all those years, I never thought, look at this clock. I looked at the clock, But here is Devon Miller comes along, this bright young boy who looks at the clock and he says, I could make a character out of that clock. And he turns it into Mr. Tickety Tock Clock. I mean, that was so clever right there. Just that alone. It just makes me crazy. I look back. I say, why didn't I think of that? Well, I didn't. And Devon Miller did. And so he illustrated it. And, when he did this, he was a few years younger than he is today, but he did it. So the first one came out in, I think, 2018, and he just illustrated them himself. He published them himself. He started promoting them himself and reaching out because he wanted to share these books with children. And now he has done so much work with children. And he was selected as a St. Petersburg a Sunshine Ambassador because of the work that he does with children, reading to children. And his books are delightful. And you can order them today. You can order them online. And you can, if you don't have a child in your life, you know, to order these books, to order all four of them, they're very, you know, they're small books, and they're children's books, and just send it to a local hospital, your own children's hospital in your area, or perhaps to St. Jude's, or to Shriners, to one of those hospitals, and just send the books directly there. You can just have it shipped directly, find out their address, send it, and just say, you know, you want to make a child happy and put a smile on a child's face, because children in hospital need books. And that's how Devon started writing, because he spent a great deal of time when he was a young boy in hospital, and he needed something to do. And when he finished every book there, he started writing. So it's a wonderful thing to do. And again, it's Devon Miller, and it's Mr. Tickety Clock, available on Amazon. And you should order them today. And then I want to talk about Bria Burton. You know, Bria Burton is just, she's a sci-fi writer. That's how I always think of her, because she does the sci-fi book buzzes. But boy, oh boy, does she have other books. And she is so clever and so funny. She has a delightful series called Lance and Ringo Tales. Tales with a T-A-I-L-S. Lance and Ringo Tales. The wild adventures of a dog and a cat as told by their human. These books are absolutely delightful. You can also have a preview of them on her website, Bria Burton. But they're available on Amazon, and you can get them in paperback or Kindle. Just hilarious. I mean, really, she's got such a wonderful sense of humor. You know, who says, as she asks, who says a dog and a cat? Who says a dog and a cat can't be brothers? Lance and Ringo Tales, the wild adventures of a dog and a cat as told by their human. And the two of them share what they really think of each other and about the humans around them. They're very funny books, and you will enjoy them. Again, a wonderful gift if you have a book lover in your life, and they also love dogs and cats, or either or both. This would be just the right gift to send. They'll ship it out today, and the person that you care about in your life who loves dogs and cats will get it. And it's wonderful. It's just terrific. So that's another selection, and that's Bria Burton. And you can also go to her website to find out more about her. And then, of course, Rita Moreau. Rita Moreau, you know, I remember the day that she walked into the studio to promote her books. She wrote a series. Well, she was writing. She had just started called the Mary Catherine Mahoney series, and it's about a former IRS agent who also was a psychic and could solve mysteries, and that was wonderful. And I was thrilled with that. And of course, Rita herself was a former IRS agent who, when she retired, thought, "Well, I'm going to do something useful." Oh, not that collecting taxes isn't useful, I suppose it is. But she wanted something creative, and so she started writing. And she wrote her first series. And then along the way, a few years later, she started writing another series, which I can't tell you how it so perfectly suits her. And it is called the Ghost and Camper Kooky Mystery Series. And this series is absolutely delightful because she has two characters in there, Mabel, who is a divorcee, who's gone through one of those terrible divorces where you don't want to talk about that ex-husband of yours. And Mabel is, she's not young, but she's still vigorous. And she decides, what the heck? Life is is something you got to live. And so she gets on, she decides to take to the road with another couple, and she buys a vintage camper and an F-150, and she takes off across the United States. Whoa! I mean, this is adventurous. Of course, she doesn't expect to find that there is a ghost sitting in the shotgun seat, and that's Irma, who is long dead, but still hanging around the camper where she died. So it's a wonderful, funny series, and as Rita says, it is definitely kooky. Okay, well, that's all for today, and everybody have a very, very Merry Christmas, a very happy, well, we're going to have a Happy New Year next week when we talk about the New Year, but we're going to play Jim Lamb's Christmas poem, and then a very special song by Kevin B. Edwards.
So, a Christmas poem by J.S. Lamb. Ornaments on a tree. Hallmark movies on TV. Reindeers playing hide and seek. Frosty trying not to peek. And what on my face appears? Mild, wide smiles and salty tears.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. Throwing in the towel. Sometimes I can't hardly face another day. I am assured that God will see me through. It's working for my good. It's working for my good.